Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu.
Hey everyone, welcome to Strike a Chord. Today we are going to talk about performance anxiety.
Yes.
Oh,
big topic.
Yes.
We're not professionals at it, but we have experienced it at some time or another.
Definitely, and we can just share our thoughts on it.
Experiences?
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Valentino, how do you – I mean, do you experience it now these days?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah? Definitely. On the bigger gigs, on the bigger shows, definitely. On your smaller gigs where sometimes you're in the background – That's an easy gig. So sometimes you get ignored, which is a good thing sometimes because you can experiment and do your experimental stuff and rehearse a little bit.
Yeah.
But on those big jobs, it's a funny thing. I think sometimes you can prepare, and then you jump on stage and then you sort of like see everyone and everyone's listening, everyone's quiet, and it's like,
all eyes on you.
How do I deal with it? Well, I have changed my approach in the last maybe couple of years, year to 2 years, where I try as much as possible to picture everything beforehand.
Mm.
Try and picture, go through the motions as much as I can. But I'm a firm believer in meditation, so meditating for me actually is a help. Also, knowing your stuff. If you know your stuff inside out, you jump on stage and you know you can afford to drop a little bit because of the nerves, because you know the material so much. But it's a big thing. It's a funny thing. Different venues, different places, different people can cause different things and different levels of anxiety. What about you, Amla?
Well, I wanted to actually before I go into it, I wanted to ask about the meditation, like what kind, because there's so many forms of meditation.
There's a few types. Sometimes I do guided meditation, and that takes a bit longer. That's when I've got a bit more free time, but. Sometimes before a gig, if I can get out of all the hoo-ha for about 5 minutes and go lock myself in a room somewhere, I do a bit of a five or 10 minute meditation if time allows. But every day I actually make an effort to go outside in the backyard and ground myself and just barefoot in the grass and do my meditation there. And that helps a lot of things for me.
Yeah.
I think it just helps put all the files back in my brain and organize everything. So, that's some of the meditation I do. And then I sometimes get into the longer meditations where, I start seeing colors and opening up chakras and stuff like that. But that helps me a lot, and that helps me a great deal. If I've been as well rehearsing or in a studio or recording, there's a lot of things happening in your brain because you've got your headphones on and there's a lot of information getting into the brain. Then you stop and you go and meditate, anything, everything just like sort of resets. But that's what helps me towards, I suppose, my music and towards my sort of bring myself back down to a norm, whatever that norm is, normality. But what about you?
Yeah, well, I'm similar to you with the meditation. I feel that helps ground me, as in just gets me out of my head and back into the body and into I also like to walk around barefoot outside whenever I can. There's something about not having shoes on and having your feet planted.
The ground that the earth, Mother Nature, that you are connected to, and that's why you feel like that.
Yeah, the feel, and reminding yourself that there is, the earth is holding you. We forget.
And we forget that we always wear shoes and these synthetic things.
Yeah.
You're spot on about that.
So that definitely helps me as well, the meditating. I do a lot. So I still, like you, experience the performance anxiety, especially if it's a gig that I've organized. Like you said, if I'm playing in the background, I'm just like, yeah, just come out and have fun. But my approach now is just try and enjoy everything, come with that fun approach. Yep. Don't have we create so many expectations of how we want the gig to go, and so that's part of the anxiety.
Yeah,
I feel like that for me creates the anxiety, the expectations. We're our own worst critics.
Definitely.
Yeah, and for me, it took a gig to not fulfill any of the expectations I had, and it was a gig I arranged for me to really rethink my approach and to go, you know, do I want to be a musician? Do I want to enjoy?
Really?
Yeah, so it was more because I just felt. I had all my expectations with this performance going a certain way, and it really didn't fill any of those criteria.
Really?
Yeah, and it was about a year ago, actually. Okay. It wasn't that long ago.
So so you put yourself in that situation where this was it, should I be or shouldn't I be?
Well, it was a combination of if I want to continue, it was more if I want to continue doing this, do I really want to feel this way? Do I really want to... expect things to go a certain way and to feel disappointed. And
because
I don't want to feel that. No one wants to feel that with every performance. So then I just thought, you know what, regardless of what happens, just enjoy it, set yourself. I didn't set myself up to, like you said, even with preparing and little things like that, I didn't give myself enough time. Yeah. So then when I was nervous, it showed a lot more than – like you said, if you know the piece inside out, pieces, then you can allow that drop a little bit because people won't realize that.
Correct.
It's
so true. But you had that added stress of you organizing that.
Yeah, gig. So that was my first one for. Yeah. I'd only probably ever done one other gig where I'd organize in my life, so it's like a big. I'd put too much pressure on myself.
Well, and, I can speak to that because I've organized a fair few gigs of my own.
Yeah,
and it is pressure. It is. Not only your expectation, but if you're playing with people and you're playing in the band, their expectation.
Their expectation and how also my expectation of them as well. And I wasn't satisfied. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you approach that? Like even that's anxiety. Like how am I gonna communicate this to the rest of the people where do I just go out and say it, or do I go in a roundabout way, or don't I say anything at all?
Yeah.
Do I just, you know,
do I let it
swallow it? Do I let it go? Yeah. Just hopefully the next time it's better.
That's what I ended up doing. I just let it go and thought, okay, that was a learning. You've got to take everything as a learning experience.
Yeah, of course.
And I just realized after that gig, I'm like, I want to enjoy it. Like I enjoy music. I want to really enjoy it. So just have fun with it. I've learned what not to do for next time, and I'm glad that experience happened because I've really finessed the flow.
Finesse the flow. You got to learn how to finesse the flow, and not only finessing the flow in your playing, but in the existence of your career. You got to finesse the flow in your career too, because if you don't have that energy and that thing running, you're always going to feel that touch more of anxiety.
Exactly,
which can go. It can tip you over the edge of making mistakes, you know, on stage. It can tip you over the edge of making mistakes with people in the band.
Yeah. And even so, we all make mistakes. Yeah. So I'm not taking ourselves so seriously as well. And the audience, it's so true. And I've even seen performances where I really enjoyed it. And the performer wasn't necessarily the greatest musician. Yeah. They were good, but their energy and their enthusiasm. So
true.
So I've just.
That makes, doesn't it?
It really makes. I think people. In the end, people want someone who's really enjoying what they're doing.
Exactly, exactly.
So that's what I'm taking in to my recent performances, every performance I do now. But the anxiety, back to the anxiety, the meditating, but for me as well, I've learnt with posture, little things like that. Okay. So right before a gig, if you're sitting like this, on an interview, you really need to just open up the body, and even just having the arms out here, you feel more confident and... Yep.
Breathing as well. Your posture actually, you got to breathe. So when you're breathing, your posture actually becomes
opens
better.
Opens up. Yeah, know? Yeah. But breathing is so important. We forget to breathe.
We forget to breathe.
Yeah, we hold our breath quite often.
We're in that. That's where we're in that fight or flight mode.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're thinking,
But we're not aware of it because we're not. Well, this is where the meditation helps. Yeah, so I'm sure you correct. Can agree. Like as soon you start to feel your body and going, oh, I feel a bit tense here. What's going on here? Yeah. And then you start to explore it.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay, that's oh yep, just breathe into that and
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that breathing and everything, it takes your mind off your job at hand and just saying, all right, hang on, I'm here. Just let it go a little bit.
Present moment.
Present moment. Yeah. Live in the moment. And that's very important. And like you said before, don't take things too seriously. I know we're pro musos and stuff like that, but I think like earlier on I used to take things so seriously, and I used to have anxiety before, during and after the gig. And that didn't do me any good. You don't play good, you're not open, you're not, you know, look, everyone's gonna make mistakes. If the mistakes are really, really bad or, you know, like repetitive, well then you need to do something about that off stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not on stage. Never have that discussion like, you know, on stage and stuff like that. Or if there's something that you need to communicate on stage, make sure it's really quick. Like if there's a sound or something like that, or someone should turn down or someone should turn up, or make that quick so that the audience doesn't realize that it's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that also causes anxiety, you know? Like
yeah, all those little things that
all
can
those little things
that,
and yeah. then they build up, this has gone wrong, then it's a domino effect.
Yes.
Once one thing goes wrong, then everything goes wrong, and then it's Murphy's Law. Like everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And that's perception, and that's your outlook. If you say I'm gonna make a mistake, hey, you're gonna make a mistake. You know?
Yeah.
So and that also contributes to anxiety a lot. Think positive as much as you can. I know sometimes it's hard. But yeah, enjoy the moment. You're on stage, you're performing to these people, and I know you want to do the best possible performance you can, but sometimes you just got to snap out of that thing and say, all right, look, I'm here, I'm now, you know.
They're here to see you perform. We forget that.
That so much on stage.
They actually want us to succeed. They don't want us to.
That's why they're there.
They're there to enjoy what we're doing.
So true. So that's so true, Amla. It's we forget, and we just need to refocus on that. And look, anxiety is a negative thing, right? But if you indulge into it and you delve into it and you don't get yourself out of it, it can be a negative thing multiplied by 20 or 100. You got to fight that in your head. So getting prepared, being prepared obviously is going to lessen your anxiety. When you get to the gig, if you're playing with the other band members, sometimes other band members have anxiety and they, you know, they can reflect that on everyone else.
I noticed that I can't remember which one of the performances we've done a while ago. I think we all had a bit of anxiety and combined
the one, the one last year, I think it was. Yeah, we all had it. But I was actually quite all right.
Yeah.
Everyone else had anxiety. I was quite all right. Considering that we had to arrange for 10 different musicians and at 10 different places of the concert.
Yeah.
And it was quite a big feat, but I didn't really think of it like that. I thought we'd just go out there and just play.
No, that's beautiful.
And I was fine. But everyone else.
Yeah.
And it's usually
confused.
The other way around.
Yeah, right. I remember being confused at that gig because I wasn't the main performer and I walked in relatively relaxed. And then I think I must have actually, the collective, like you said, when there were a few people who were anxious there, all of a sudden I felt myself becoming nervous and I went, what's going on here?
Yeah, the energy, they were giving you the energy. And I actually, I did a lot of meditation before that and I meditated at the venue as well. And I was fine.
Yeah.
I was fine. I mean, you know, I think it was the first, one of the rare shows that I did where I wasn't nervous and everyone else was. It's usually the other way around and everyone's just coming in, we'll just wait on there. We're going to do it, but how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
So, and I was quite happy at the end of the gig because it wasn't just about playing the gig. I had all my friends there.
Yeah.
Like all these musicians that are my friends, you know, we were all playing together, and that's why I organized it. And I thought, you know, this is – that's when I lived in the moment. It was like, you know, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be done.
Enjoy.
Like, yeah, like all, like the tickets were sold. Everything was done. Everything was, you know, the only thing that was left just to play music and have fun. But, yeah, you're right about, you know.
Someone else's and then how do you handle that?
How do you handle it?
Yeah, well, like what you said, I ended up removing myself from that room. It's the self-awareness as well, and that comes from meditating.
So much.
So if I could have just let that consume me, and I would not have known that I was anxious. I would have just – but I just went, oh, I felt it straight away. I went, what's going on here? And I half laughed, and then I just left a room and found a quiet space and just started breathing.
Yeah.
And then going, because we try to resist these feelings, right? And what we resist persists.
So true. I like that one.
What you resist persists. So I just went into the other room, went, okay, where am I feeling? I like to ask myself, I got this from a lady called Tara Brach.
Okay.
I just asked myself, what am I feeling right now? You know, it's just what I'm feeling now. It's not who I am.
Yep.
And then going, where in the body is this feeling? And then normally I think with anxiety for me, it's in the gut.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, breathe into that. And then let it be there. And then if you let it be there, because as soon as we just tense up, we make it so we multiply it.
Yeah, so true.
You just let it be there, and you might need a few minutes. Sometimes, like you said, there's not enough time, but at least you can calm it down a bit by accepting it. The acceptance of it.
That's right.
Helps it to.
So true. The acceptance, and also what works for me is when you accept that it's there, and just in your mind you just push it aside. All right, I know you're there. Just push it aside.
Yeah.
I'll deal with you later.
Yeah, you're there.
After the
it's
show,
fine.
Or after I'll deal with you later.
Yeah.
It's not. You're there. I know you're there, but I'll deal with you later.
It's
that's like a visitor.
You know, it's not there to stay.
It's like that troublesome uncle that gets pissed or drunk at the thing. He's just, don't worry, just stay aside and we'll deal with you later. But, it's a very important thing, that self-awareness that you mentioned before. There's the last show that I did, I wanted to try something and I've totally forgot about it, where sometimes before you go on stage, you don't think, you're just thinking about, you know, that last minute, you're thinking about, oh, I'm going on stage, you know, people are going to be there, whatever.
Mm.
But I wanted to try and do a checklist in my mind where breathe, take things slowly and live in the moment, because, and I think I have to remind myself of that, like, before every piece.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to try next time, because sometimes you start the pieces, you're nervous and you start the pieces fast, and then it sort of confuses people in the band. It's like, if you're calm, and because I'm the leader and everyone's looking at me for the next move, it's like, however I set the mood or set the pace, that's how it's going to be sometimes, but they're not always right. So the nerves get to you, you probably start things a bit faster, and then it's like, no, people in the band go, Jesus, what's going on? So I think these are the things where just, you know, bring yourself down a little bit, breathe into where you're, you know, into your gut or wherever you want to breathe into. Just even after every song is finished, and just breathe and absorb the energy of the people. And then
I love that.
That's what I'm going to try next time. I wanted to try it last time, but again, I fell into that little bit of anxiety and things.
Yeah.
But it was funny before the we were in the green room and we were practicing and playing, and it was fine. I was so relaxed. It was like, yeah, I can't wait to get on. Got on, and when I sat on the chair, and it was like, okay. And then I forgot to breathe, you know, and then I just started, and it just didn't feel right. So sometimes you'll see classical musicians.
Yes.
You know, even guitarists or pianists, they'll come on, and people are waiting. They're taking their time.
Yep.
They're grounding themselves, and then you see them breathe a little bit, just like, and then they'll start.
It's so true. It's such an important point you brought up, because it's almost like we feel bad about the audience waiting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just got to let go
so
of
true.
That.
Yeah.
And what feels like 10 minutes for us is probably 5 seconds for them. Like, we just need
– we don't want to keep them waiting.
It's such a good point. I forget to do that as well. Just when you arrive on stage, take your time. That's a really valuable point.
And people take advantage of it. Musicians take advantage, and you'll see those musicians, they perform really well.
Yeah.
They take advantage of that. Even if it's that extra 10, 20 seconds, a minute, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
People understand.
Yeah.
Right? The people who are going to come and say, if you're in a concert style venue or a concert style show, yes, they're going to understand. Things change when you're in a pub-like venue.
Yeah.
So your adrenaline changes. Your thing. If you're there with a rock or a funk band and you want to bring energy, well, you're going to be prepared for that, and you're going to go in. Yeah. As I say, balls in. You know, it's like go in, and you're gonna. You need to make that impact on the people, because the people either are dancing or they're going to do that in that pub style venue, in that sort of genre of music. You gotta have that. So you do all your breathing and stuff like that beforehand, and then you go in. Bam. And you work on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Whereas with my shows, and that it's like when I open up a show, I usually open up on my own.
Yeah.
So this is where I think you just need to go on stage and just make yourself self-aware.
Mm.
And say, all right, this is it. Breathe when you're ready.
Yes.
When you're ready. And 99% time you don't do that.
We all forget. I don't know if I've ever, to be honest, I don't know if I've ever done it. I can't remember when I've last done that. I've done it before the gig, like you said. Yeah. You breathe. When you get on, it's almost like you feel this rush.
Yeah, I've never done it. And I think the next gig that we're going to do together,
yes,
I'm going to put a checklist, like a set list on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this just to remind myself, all right.
I love that idea, and even I love what you said about after each piece.
Yeah.
We don't need to just bang into.
Have a conversation with the audience as well.
Yeah.
After every piece. That's what I noticed with the last show. When you have a conversation with the audience, A, the audience like it.
Yeah, they do.
B, gives you time to recalculate things and, you know.
Gives you a little break as well. Mm. I mean, especially with the flamenco, there's a lot of technique.
It can be a bit intense. But at the same time, you're playing with others as well.
Yes.
And if you're generating that energy, you're panicking and stuff, what's going to happen?
Everyone
else is going to panic. So, and I think there's a lot of musicians at different stages of their lives. You're going to deal with younger musicians, older musicians, some musicians that are happy to just stay in the background, that you would like for them to come out and do something, they're not comfortable with it. So you got to set an example as well. You know, a lot of musicians are introverts.
Most of us are. This is our extroverted time, because for us it's a way we express ourselves.
And it's a different world.
Yeah.
This is the world where this is our communication. Sometimes you'll find that you speak to a musician, and if you're not a musician or if you're not an artist, you probably won't understand.
Mm.
Like me talking to an engineer.
Yes.
Or an architect or a scientist. There are those little things that will close. If you're a normal person, as in normal person that isn't a musician, will talk to a musician, and sometimes the musicians will try and explain to them what it is, because, oh, you're a musician. Oh, yeah. So what do you play? And then some people go into rigmarole of putting all the genres and all the instruments and all of this and all of that and explaining to someone, and they're just looking at you thinking, I've got no time to listen to this. And that actually makes you even worse. It's like, I've just explained this, everything, all my gear, all the guitars I've got, all the music that I'm playing, and this guy that has got no idea about music. So it's that thing as well, where I think you need to have a split personality when you're a musician. You've got your music life and your normal life, because I've got a lot of friends that are not musicians and don't even come to my shows.
Same.
That's
fine.
But I have a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
Because I break out of that music thing and the thing that I'm doing every day and all day. And it's a bit refreshing just to listen to some normal you know, normal talk and normal gander or whatever they want to call it, or, you know, gossip and stuff like that. It's just, you know, gas bagging, you know. But, yeah, and then, you switch, like you put your music hat on, as they say, and then that becomes a different world. And then from for example, if I'm playing and my wife is talking to me, I'm ignoring her totally because I'm playing. So, or if anyone else is talking to me, I'm probably looking at him and nodding. I'm not registering. Yeah. So this is the thing where there's that split personality. And when you get into your music, that also affects, because that can affect the audience too. So if you're playing, yeah, you're ignoring the audience.
Yeah.
So, and that can happen. That's happened to all of us.
Oh, we've all done it. Yeah. I still tend to do it.
Look, there are parts that you need to ignore the audience, because there are some things that you need to play and it's all rehearsed and you need to be on the ball for them to enjoy it, right?
Yes.
But not all the time.
Not all the time.
Sometimes take a look at the audience, take a look at someone, because people are just looking at you like this. You know, you probably want to have a look and absorb and enjoy it.
Yeah, acknowledge them.
Acknowledge and enjoy, yeah, that they're actually watching you,
yeah,
and they're listening to you. So we forget, yeah, about that sometimes.
We do. And that's also an art to practice through doing more gigs. Even I was doing the mariachi gig yesterday and I realized that there were a few songs I didn't know well enough to actually not look at. And it was we were roaming, so we needed to actually really be attentive with our listeners. And but it was a good practice for me. I went, oh, okay, so this song, I'm not able to play it. And then I made a few mistakes and I went, oh, yeah, okay, so I need to work on this. Yeah. So it's also a reminder of which songs perhaps you thought you had, yep, right?
Oh, you make a point
inside
of it
out
in your head.
Yeah.
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 So true. That also, and I think this comes back to, there's a fine line between being prepared and just having anxiety, right?
Yeah, yeah. But being prepared, the more prepared you are, the, yeah, less anxiety you,
exactly,
will have.
Exactly. So what I tend to do sometimes as well, I play in front of my family.
Yeah, that's great.
Or I you know, I'll, like if people are sitting on the couch, just grab the guitar and just play there.
Yeah.
And I imagine myself like on stage. So sometimes I take videos of myself.
That's a really good one. And then you know, can hear it back.
You can hear it. But yeah, not only that video gives you that level of anxiety as someone's going to watch it, because if you're going to say, I'm going to put this online.
Yes.
And that's when, that's it, you know. And that's a good training point. Mm. And I actually delved into that a bit more as to your anxiety and your approach. And I'm going to mention the Bulletproof Musician, Noah Kageyama, because I actually did that course and I learned a lot from it. He always made a mention of playing in front of a camera. It doesn't have to be a whole piece, just a little bit, just to get that anxiety, and it'll bring up your anxiety, and then you learn to ground yourself, ground yourself, take a few deep breaths, do what you need to do, you know, focus all your anxiety into that energy. It's not a point of not having that adrenaline and that nervousness. It's about channeling it.
Channeling it, yeah. You know? And I can't remember who told me this. I think it was a teacher saying it's almost good to have a little bit of anxiety,
yeah,
to help you, because it helps with the performance in a sense, because because the opposite of that is almost apathy, or
you're gonna fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not here as well, so
you're not going to be playing. If you're there, you're going to have that.
There's no energy behind.
There's no energy. Yeah, there's no energy. You're 100% right. I know some musicians in the past that have taken those blockers and stuff like that, you know, just to calm them down. They block all of your receptors that lead to that anxiety and to your.
And that's blocking your creativity,
yeah,
as well.
You won't have the butterflies in your stomach or nothing. You just go out,
yeah,
there and play.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea. I've never taken them. I've dealt with what I've got. I deal with what I have at the moment of regarding anxiety. But I think you got to have that, as you said, you got to have that little bit of nervousness. Otherwise, we're all human, right?
We're all human.
You need that and the adrenaline a little bit.
Experience emotions. Yeah. The adrenaline. And yeah, what you said is such great advice, again, with the videos. I forgot it. I used to do that at uni because they made me do that, and I kind of haven't done that for a while now, recording videos of myself playing, but it does create that bit of anxiety, and it's a good way to practice. I actually did an open mic, my first open solo open mic for the Boite gig, because I was feeling really nervous leading up to it, because it was my solo gig, and I just took myself to an open mic and felt nervous, but it was a good practice for me.
Yeah,
that's another.
That's
way
a good.
To,
that's a good.
And it's
idea.
Really, it's a chilled environment. Yeah. I was still nervous, but then it was a way for me to practice my set in a low key environment.
Gee, that's a good idea. Open mics. I didn't. I've never thought about it in that way.
Yeah,
I
me
always
too.
Think about open mics about people who want to new people who want to get out and do what they do and or try out a new career path, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I haven't thought of it like that. That's a good idea.
It's like a low. You're still performing in front of people. There's still some nerves there, but it was. I was actually really nervous, but it was good because I'd never really done an open mic before in that sense. But it was people I didn't know. I just went there, and it was kind of cool to just go to a place where I didn't know anyone.
Yeah,
and just play
and just play
and then rather, leave after.
You know, I've heard of stand-up comedians doing this where they go into a place where no one knows them and they try out new material.
Yeah.
That's probably something we can adapt as musicians, going to open just if they accept you.
Yeah.
Just go up and do a set, do a couple of songs and just see what – because chances are you probably do something in an environment where you haven't played in an environment like that where the genre is completely different,
exactly.
And they're not expecting you to play anything. So
that was exactly what happened.
What was the response?
Oh yeah, they seemed to really enjoy it. But I was just I was there with an intent. I just went there and I did a stomp box song with the flute. I mean, you're not really going to see you don't see much flute at open mics.
No, so, you don't.
So it's just
especially with a stomp box as well.
So I did a couple of songs. I did some of the violin. I was really nervous about the singing part, so I was practicing the singing with the violin, and I think it went well. I was kind of in my head, but I was pushing myself to step outside my comfort zone a bit, and to do. I mean, but I think it's a great. I'll definitely do it again if there's new material or something.
I think that's a great idea.
It's just a low key environment, even though. It's
but you got to have a bit of courage to do that.
I mean, it was.
You say good on ya.
I pushed myself a bit. Sometimes you got to challenge yourself.
You got to challenge yourself, but you also, you know, you're shitting yourself as well.
Oh yeah.
At the same time, it's like, why am I inflicting this on myself?
Yeah, there was a bit of that. Yeah. But afterwards, I was like, you know what, did it? You know, I can now.
How did you feel afterwards?
I was also really tired. So you know, when you're tired, it was a combination of things. But I felt good. I mean, they were receptive, but it was a very male dominated open mic as well, so I just felt like I was just wanted to go after, so I just left. But the bar staff liked it, you know. They seemed to enjoy it. Something
you know,
different.
It's important for the staff to like your music. It's very important. Because that's another anxiety thing. If the venue or the bar staff don't like it, that and they're looking at you and thinking, oh, that's gonna get your anxiety up and you wanna grab your stuff and exit stage left. You know? But that's a very good point, to challenge yourself in environments that are not familiar with you. So, like, if you go and play a genre of music where that place has never seen that, I never heard that genre, that's got to take balls. Because you don't want to end up like the Blues Brothers where they throw bottles through the cage. So, but look. Everyone's got different methods, and you know, it's not one size fits all, and it's not one method this is going to help you with.
No,
you know.
No, we're sharing what we've
thoughts and what we've experienced.
Yeah,
I think the main point here is just to be aware. Be aware where you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it, and make sure that you know. You're prepared as much as possible and have fun with it and give it to the audience. Leave everything on the stage. You know, when you're performing, just go for it. We're all going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're all human. It's not about having that perfect performance all the time. If you're in a Philharmonic and you're a lead violinist or a lead pianist, well, you probably want to make that perfect. But in a different sense, Yeah, it depends on how strict your genre is. It depends on what sort of genre you're doing. It depends on what instrument you're playing.
Yeah.
But have fun with it.
Have
Enjoy
fun
it.
Anyway. Like even, yeah. I mean, but the breathing, like you said, all those little reminders, even like you said, the positive words beforehand, how yeah. your posture is right before these can, you know, again, like if you're sitting like this right before you go on stage, you're kind yeah. of containing that anxiety
yeah.
in a way.
And you're manifesting it.
Yeah.
It's like it's
you're stewing
get,
in it.
Yeah, you're stewing in it. It's going to get bigger and bigger and this whole massive green cloud above you is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You have to burst through it. But
and what you said as well, I think the key, I mean, especially once you're out there, take your time.
Take your time.
Take your time. That's such a – I
forgot
about
that
one.
Yeah, finesse the flow. Take your time. That's yeah. it. And at the end of the day, you're going to feel better after the gig because so many times after a gig I've felt so tired, so drained. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to go home and just chill out.
Yeah.
But other gigs – you know, you want to go and speak to people. You know, when you've had a good gig, you want to go and speak to people. You want to engage the public because they're there to see you, you know. So
you want to yeah. thank them for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. They yeah. want to talk to you.
Yeah, of yeah. course, of course. And then after that, you want to sell merch as well. So.
Yeah.
but,
yeah.
I think very important, anxiety, music. Sometimes people think that it goes hand in hand, but you can use methods and you can minimize the anxiety. As you said before, you got to have that little bit of nervousness, a bit of that adrenaline running. But I think at the end of the day, if you can control that and control that energy, mate, you'll produce magic on stage.
Mm, yeah.
And that's about it, I think, for today. I think
yeah.
we're going to call it.
Yeah.
Really good episode, really good subject. Just wanted to say big thanks to our sponsor, Cake Eclipse, for these beautiful cakes.
Yum.
We're going to have them after we finish up. Thanks, Amla.
Thank you, Valentino.
Till next time.
See you next week.
Ciao.
The Strike A Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.